and that's Blaster.
Looks like you got yourselves in a jam somehow. I need some extra punch, and here's the punch I need. I'd say your nightclub just went out of style. Look out and shout! Ow!
And now a moment of silence for Buster Jones, 1943 to 2014.
Transformers for your listening pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop?
Welcome to yet another one of our Transformers for your listening pleasure. I'm your host, Plasticon. Thrawn's not going to be with us tonight because he has his anniversary. So, along with me tonight is Megamus.
Hello.
Tobias.
Hello, everyone.
And Don, as always.
Hey, everybody.
Tonight, we plan on going through and talking about some news. There's a lot of news we hadn't really touched since a lot of these things have came out recently. There are a few other things we're going to touch on, such as the very beginning here. We really want to pretty much give our condolence out to any of the family and such of Buster Jones. And we also want to salute the man for what he had done for us. And we're also going to talk about some of the toys and such that had came out because of his influence. There's a lot of stuff that the guy had done that he was more than just Transformers. He did quite a few other things. Him being a voice actor and doing what he did was just absolutely awesome, and what really set, you know, apart a lot of stuff for us kids in the 80s. And he did influence Ghostbusters as well. So he was not just dealing with Transformers. One big thing we do want to talk about tonight, though, is the a few of the toys that came out during the Transformers, and there's also a few other things that are coming out, and a few things that, you know, came out a little more recent. Obviously, everybody wants to, you know, anybody that has had Generation 1 knows about G1 Blaster. G1 Blaster originally was a Diaclone. And I don't know, Megamus, do you happen to have the one that actually plays the cassettes?
Hang on.
Because for our audio listeners, in Diaclone, Blaster originally had headphone set, and he was a radio. And he also had a larger portion on the back, which if you have the Generation 1, you can tell there's a little panel on the back. But that panel, if you do pop it off, that used to play the microcassettes. So I'm going to let Megamus take it from here and talk about that because he happens to have it in hand.
Yeah. The MC21, which is a blue, I wouldn't call it a repaint because it actually came first, but is what we would call Blaster in blue. And how it does differ is it does have the little section for batteries. It came with, I'm sorry, it didn't have batteries. What it was everything was contained like that. It had a little opening, but it didn't have any batteries. Everything was contained in this little guy. The little cassette was actually had a little battery compartment, a little switch, a little dial, and it was an AM radio, which would fit right into the opening of Blaster, just like that.
Which goes in the back, not the front, correct?
No, it goes in the front.
Oh, it does go in the front.
Yeah, it goes right in here. It goes right in there. So basically, but if you look in here, it actually has a little peg, kind of like a an audio jack, because these are working speakers. So this the whole electronics compartment and everything was in the tape, and it went straight in, and that's how you played it.
Yeah, so
and then looking at it had, on the side, I forgot about this, on the one of the legs, it does have batteries, but that's for the speakers. It's kind of like an amplifier.
Right. And if you look at the Hasbro one, they pretty much remolded the entire leg, so that way it no longer is a battery compartment. But they did leave what's called the output-input hole, but they filled it. And it's actually still stamped, along with the tuning knob and the on-off switch are still molded within the toy itself, but they're non-functional. But in the one that Megamus is showing, they're actually functioning
right
bits.
They function. But then the back piece, like I told you, this one opens up, which I really don't know why, but it does open up. And on the G1 Blaster, you either had a solid backing or you had where this piece would pop off. That's just a variation in G1 Blaster. The other thing it came with, and this is the thing that's funny, is because if you look at his gun, why did he have a hole there? Well, it's sealed, so I can't, but there's an earbud. That's how you listen to the radio. And how this worked was is you wound the cord around it, and you plugged it into the side of the gun, just like that.
Yeah,
and
so
that's actually what the hole was for.
And what's funny about this, because everybody thought earbuds was like a new thing. Earbuds were like toward the tail end of the 70s, beginning of the 80s is when they actually came out. But it was primarily like Japanese and such. Most people in the U.S. hadn't, you know, we were just getting like Sony Walkmans and such back then. So it was a little different culture, but earbuds have been around for like a long time, which is something that's kind of mind-blowing for those guys out there that buy like their iPods and such, and they've got freaking earbuds that come with them to shove in their ears.
In the instructions, let me show you this real quick in the instructions, because it's sealed. I can't really see it. But if you look, you can see where the earbud plugs into the side of it. And then the back, if you notice on the back of the stock, there's a hole, and that's where the jack actually plugs into. See if I can get it to focus a little better.
Yeah, we can see it.
Yep. Okay. So, but yeah, that was difference in the Diaclone version and what we got.
And moving on from that one, there actually was a red variant that came out that was similar to the blue one. Basically, the blue was swapped with red. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe the door was silver on the blue one. On the red one, right?
I can't remember, to be honest with you. I never really went to track that one down because it was too much like the original. But It would be nice to have it.
Yeah, I believe the one with the one I'm referring to is a lot like G1 Blaster, but I believe the door is a different color. I believe the door was silver on it. If I'm not mistaken, it might have been black, but I do know for a fact that the door was a different color. So those guys out there that are in the market trying to find a authentic Diaclone Blaster, you're going to want to look for those kind of variations. Some people, when it comes to trying to find the vintage versus the reissue, I don't happen to have a reissue. I only have the vintage, but I don't know exactly what the differences were between this and the reissue.
Let me see.
I think maybe what the eye color, I want to say.
Well, I actually have mine, which was autographed, by Buster.
That's good.
Awesome. And
let me see here. It, I think the gray, if you look at the gray on the legs, I think it looks darker.
It is darker.
Than the G1. Yeah, it looks almost gray, not silver gray.
So it didn't have that swirl in it, right?
No, it looks just gray. It actually looks kind of dull. If you look at it real close, get over that way.
Okay.
It looks just dull.
It's definitely more darker.
Right.
Flip the head open on yours. Let's look at the head. Does it have gold or yellow eyes?
Yellow. Actually, okay. No, they're gold. They're gold.
Okay.
These are goldish.
So I'll do a close-up of this one, if I can see. Let me see here. Can you see the eyes?
They match the chest.
Yeah.
But yellow.
Well, this one looks gold, like metallic.
Well, I mean, mine are metallic as well, but I believe there was a variation of this guy out that had blue eyes, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I don't know.
I want to say there was, but I don't know for absolute sure. By the way, Brycey will be on later on, guys. He's taking kind of a hiatus right now at the moment because he's got company over. He will be on shortly. He would probably know if anybody, because he tends to have a lot of weird variations of stuff sometimes.
Don't forget Twincast.
Well, yeah, obviously Twincast. Let me grab Twincast right quick. I happen to have the reissue Twincast where all the sticker portions primarily are tampoed on, not sticker. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe the original was still stickers, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I do not believe I have the original one.
Is the blue the same on Twincast as the original blaster or the diaphone one?
Is the what now?
I don't know. I don't have the vintage one, and I don't have the reissue.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know if the blue is like that. I do know for a fact though, his eyes are blue. Twincast's eyes are blue. He has red fists versus the black. I don't know what other variations were of him, but
well, also the chest plate was actually a Tech Spec decoder, because if you put Twincast's cassettes in there, it showed the weakness points on both Fortress Maximus and Scorponok using the same technology that you use with your tech specs.
Right. You're absolutely right about that, because the Generation 1 blaster did not have that. It was primarily a clear window. And Twincast has a maroonish window, which is a lot like your tech spec decoder. So that does make sense. That's kind of cool. I wish they would make some kind of like, you know, some type of like crazy label things that we can do, that like paper things we can pop in the back, maybe some paper craft.
Well, actually,
kind of different stuff to put in there. It would be kind of interesting to see what they could do with that.
Well, it's possible that if someone like Repo Labels with the this may be mentioned later in the news, but with KFC doing a masterpiece blaster, if a Repo Label is done, they might include a red. You know, just to help add value to the set, they might add a red sticker or something that you can add to your G1 blaster to give him that same feature, or at least.
Well, that would be interesting. Yeah, I mean that does go into the news that we have. We also have a couple other things that came out for blaster. We've got I'm forgetting the name of the company that made it, but they make a laptop. That is a USB hub.
It's Takara.
Yeah, it's Takara that made it. It's music label, right?
Device label.
A device label, but it's a laptop, but it transforms into blaster, which is kind of odd. The colors are okay on it, but to me, I think it has too much black. But it's one of those things that, you know, at least music label and device label and all those, they were trying to put some kind of like electronics into making a blaster variant versus trying to rehash what they did with Soundwave and make a blaster just like it. Honestly, I think a lot of people probably would have preferred just getting a blaster that played the MP3s versus that device label USB hub.
And what's sad is that blaster was delayed quite a while because the wires in the legs and arms kept snapping when you try to transform it. And I put a link in the chat if people want to see what the device label looks like.
Okay. Actually, we'll put that link into our Facebook.
Okay.
That way our groups can actually see this thing.
Okay.
This is actually directly pulled off of our friends at TFW. We're going to go ahead and push this up here so that way a lot of you guys can see this device label toy that we're primarily talking about. A lot of people aren't really that familiar with it. I've seen a few reviews of it, but there's not been very many. But like I said, I think it's got too much black, a little too much kibble hanging off the back. I get what they were trying to get at with it, but you know, I think they kind of missed the boat on this one. They really could have just gave us another music player. You know, I mean, it was crazy enough that they gave us an Optimus Prime that had speakers in it that you can put in there for an iPod deck, but they could have did something similar like that with Blaster as well.
Yeah, it's just a shame that it was so expensive because, you know, that was running anywhere from $50 to $60. The two gig memory sticks of Ravage and Cheetor were like $30, $35, and it was just you had to buy them in for the Transformer part because from the electronic standpoint they were way overpriced.
Yeah,
I mean, but we've also got other toys that they produced that's supposed to have been like Blaster, like they did the for what was it Cybertron. They did that jet that was Soundwave, but they turned back around and repainted it to make it Blaster. And it worked okay, but honestly, that mold was not the best, I think. I think they could have done more with that mold. I think they really could have like made the transformation more interesting than what they did, because the transformation, even on the smaller Legend size, was very finicky. Very, very finicky. It made me want to throw the toy at the time because it was so difficult to try to figure out what to do with that nose cone portion. Because it didn't want to plug in the correct way. It was very difficult because it had that weird ball joint L thing. I don't know if any of you guys have ever had one or not. But it was a bit of a pain. But that toy was okay. Honestly, I think still probably one of the best things that is coming out is that masterpiece that TFC is coming up. Do any of you guys happen to have photos of that pulled up that you can screen share real quick?
I haven't. I know that PL has a link, has a video up for an early test shot look on YouTube.
Well, it's one of us grabbed the, at least not the video, but at least a few pictures of it. I'm sure somebody can Google image it real quick, so that way we can get that up so our viewers can see that. For our audio guys, this is a masterpiece version to go. It's one-to-one scale size with your masterpiece Soundwave that has been released. From what we've gathered, it will be able to hold Generation 1 cassettes, just like the masterpiece Soundwave. So I'm guessing they might end up probably trying to take a crack at getting us some cassettes to go with this, not unless they're planning on just getting those third-party cassettes that have been released go in it. I'm not absolutely sure what all it comes with, though.
Well, remember a lot of KFC, and they're not called KFC anymore. I can't remember the current name, but a lot of their early work were cassettes. So I'm going to be betting this blaster is made to fit, because their cassettes did fit MP Soundwave and Sound Blaster, so I'm sure it'll be cross compatible. And of course, we'll probably get a twin cast out of this too.
Right, and honestly, one of the things we did kind of skip over, Junkion Blacksmith, those guys that did the little bitty headmasters, they actually did a headmaster for Blaster as well, and I've seen some people actually modify their Generation 1 blaster to take that Headmaster, which is kind of cool because the head sculpt's pretty nice. And actually, I think the head sculpt scales better with the better than the actual Generation 1 head does, which is kind of interesting because the G1 head, I think, is still a little too small. But like I said, check out Junkie on Blacksmith if you guys want to, like, eBay it or whatever you guys do, iOffer or any of those sites that you guys go looking out for stuff. It is a Headmaster, and from what I'm not mistaken, I believe it actually comes with adapters to allow you to plug it on to any of your other Headmaster toys.
This is the it's called Metal Transistor.
Okay, so the name of this one is called Metal Transistor. That is the TFC Master.
That's what it looks like.
That sounds like a great name for a band.
Yeah. Here it is in let's get it in blaster mode. Here it is with their cassettes that they offer. So a little different. Notice that the handle is not connected to the legs.
That's
the body.
That's cool.
Now, here I haven't watched
In scale with Masterpiece Soundwave.
Yeah, and that is
right on par, because if you look at a G1 Soundwave and a G1 Blaster, they're about the same as far as differences in size. Whereas Blaster is a lot longer, a boombox, and Soundwave is supposed to be just a tape deck.
It's a shame they can't do an advertisement showing a kid carrying it around and it says at the bottom, not a working radio.
Well, the first thing you'd have to do is explain to all the kids what a Walkman is, what a boombox is, what a tape is.
Well, you know,
it would make for a very long commercial.
Well, we did get a cassette with Hound and Generations of Ravage, and I'm sure there was plenty. Danny, what's a cassette?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and
well, I mean,
let me screen share this too, real quick.
Well, for those viewers out there that really wanted to see, there's Soundwave and there's Sound Blaster. That literally is the same scale that they actually have up. So he's probably going to be slightly taller, but probably by not much. And honestly, the way TFC, if TFC banks on this toy, and honestly, you guys out there that are really after these masterpieces, I highly suggest you buy one so that way it will push the limits for them to give us a twin cast. A lot of you guys out there that like the twin cast colors, if you want that, you need to get it on the ball and buy the damn thing. That's all I got to say when it comes out.
I'm looking, and here's – looks like it's going to be able to hold two cassettes.
Three.
Will it hold three just like the other one?
Yeah, again, I hadn't watched the whole video, but PL says there are three slots, and it has the same plunger mechanism as
simple. Push it in the back?
Yeah, yeah. Now, I do
It's like they stole a little bit of the engineering from the original masterpiece, but then they just, like, modified it and gave them a little different look.
Let's be honest about this. Okay, here's a picture of both of them. The knee joints look similar. I'm sorry, the knee joints look similar. The ankle joints look similar. The rotating, I guess that would be your calf. The arms. I mean, they look look at this. I mean, they look very close. The shoulder joints.
Yeah.
So but they they redesigned a Soundwave.
Yeah, and it's slightly taller. It does have a little teeny tiny bit of height. Not too much, but I mean, honestly, even in the cartoon, Blaster was bigger than Soundwave.
Well, let's be honest. Look at the G1 Soundwave and the G1 Blaster, and Blaster's head and shoulders above Soundwave.
It dwarfs because of Soundwave, the long legs.
Yeah. I'm not. They didn't scale well. Scale well together.
Yeah. I'm not sure if they can include any exclusives or not with this being the third party, but if they can add anything to this that adds value. I hope they add the speakers from Autobop that goes over the hands.
Yeah, that would be a great add-on kit for Dr. Wu if you decide to start making some more add-on kits for us. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge when that thing comes out. Give us some of those. That would be cool. I know a lot of people out there buy those because that's and make them gold, so that way they, have some kind of bling because you.
And then if they can have the words Dancitron somewhere on them, that would be like you just rip them off the Dancitron thing.
It should come with a soundtrack.
Now, Plascon, I wanted to bring this up if I could, because I'm of the age where one of Buster Jones's most recent toys was actually of one of his earliest characters. In the late 70s, early 80s, one of the biggest cartoons was, of course, the Super Friends. You had a lot of different incarnations. You had Adam West and Burt Ward doing their voices anyway for several incarnations. You had Casey Kasem doing Robin through several shows. You got characters like Firestorm and Cyborg and Legendary Superpowers team. But one of the characters was Black Vulcan, who was voiced by Buster Jones. And there was a wave of DC Universe classics a couple years ago. I'm sure everybody remembers that if you collect DC figures, because we all had to hunt them suckers down. That was technically called the Super Friends Wave, because you had Samurai, El Dorado, and Black Vulcan. Unfortunately, I have the Black Vulcan toy, but it's not where I left it, unfortunately. But I put a link.
Massey took it.
No, Massey's been boarded for a week. He's sleeping in a box somewhere to calm down.
Need to give that cat Ritalin.
Well, look, you be a cat housed at a vet who also houses dogs in the next room. But they finally did a Black Vulcan figure complete with lightning special effects. And that was one of Buster's earlier characters. So it was nice that they were able to get, something from that era for the old collectors who remember the show.
I think a lot of people, though, other than Blaster, they really remember him being Winston in the Ghostbusters cartoon. And honestly, anybody that's had that stuff autographed, you should cherish that because, that stuff's never going to come back again.
Yeah, I will say at BotCon, that was Buster Jones' first public appearance being exposed to the fandom. And I believe the poor man was overwhelmed, but I would like his family to know that that made so many people's weekend. I know it was rough for him not having used, because his early animation work was when you didn't have the fandom like you do nowadays. So it was sort of like what Peter Cullen said when he came to his first BotCon. He had no clue a character he did 30 years ago was loved that much until recently. And I think Buster was just overwhelmed by the amount of people that just loved the character. And I hope before he passed away, he was able to understand that Blaster is one of the G1 characters a lot of people just love because it was such a fun character.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
you said BotCon was one of the first, was the first that he did after a log of, that was his first convention.
I think that BotCon was his first major exposure to being.
I remember him being there, and he was. I mean, you could tell he was a little bit on the confused side, simply becoming. It's a little bit overwhelming. Exactly. But I actually got to talk to him in great detail at what I believe to be his last convention that he did, which was Slagicon. And I talked to him. We were eating lunch, and man, just. You could almost anyone from his era that did, even actors, voice actors, whatever, and he had a story about him because he knew him. He knew a lot of people, a whole lot of people, and it was just you would just sit there and you would just name off an actor, and he had something to say about it, mm-hmm. a little bit of tidbit or he ran into him or whatever. It was really neat. He was very personal. And it's a shame. It really is. But he could tell. You could tell that he knew. He knew he was loved. He knew that the character that he created was a well-loved character.
Well, one last toy that I think we failed to mention that I do know of that came out in the Transformers universe was the world's smallest blaster. I don't have any world's smallest. Brett, did you happen to get hold of that one?
No, I didn't do the world's smallest.
Okay. I wasn't sure if any of us had gotten those. I have seen reviews of it, and it's actually kind of cool. If any of you guys any of you listeners out there happen to have any really good input or anything like that, feel free to mention it on our Facebook page or even on our forums on tftalk.net. Before we roll on to news and such, I do want to blurb our sponsors. Obviously, Mega Toy Fan, go to there for all your vintage toy needs. Obviously, that's Megamus. You can always contact him on Facebook and such if any of you guys are actually after any of those items. And absolutely. I also want to mention our other sponsor, Captured Prey. Great toys, great service, great prices. CapturedPrey.com. And if you guys are after any of those third-party craziness, that's the guy to go to. Orson will hook you up and help you guys out. Anyhow, let's move on to our news, considering we got a lot of it. Quite a few things have came out. We actually have not even gotten a chance even to talk about the Computron that's even come out, let alone a few others. We have had hints of a Abominus masterpiece that's coming out with a lot of people I know of that are really into the monster scene. They really enjoy this one. And I myself, I dig it. I think it's really, really, really cool. And I like the direction it's going. But let's go ahead and start touching base with probably that Computron, considering that's a little of the older news. And also, I don't know if there was the other bit that came out for Warbitron as well, correct? The swindle piece? Or is that one not completely released yet?
For Warbitron? Swindle's
yes.
out.
Okay. Do you happen to have it?
Yeah. The Swindle? Yeah, Swindle.
That was the latest one, right?
I don't remember which one was.
I think
just got all three
the
of them at the same
one.
Time.
Okay.
They did Swindle Blast Off and Brawl.
Well, break out Swindle, because I know Swindle for a fact, actually, yeah, now that I remember, yeah. Swindle was the third one. So let's break that one out and talk about it since you happen to have it on hand.
There he is. I would say out of the three that are out so far, he is my second favorite. He is beat out by Brawl. Brawl is just a absolutely wonderful figure. The only thing I could say that I wish they would have done is I wish they would have made, and it would have been really easy to do, all they had to do was put a hole on the arm for his cannon.
Well, that would have been interesting.
Yeah, I mean, because in the show, he had it on his arm. I mean, it will almost fit in the plug. There's a little, but it doesn't. Because that, to me, is how it should have been, just about like that.
Yeah.
But it's actually a cannon that goes on his shoulder or in his arm, hand, I mean. And not a bad figure. A little bit of kibble in the back. But overall, and definitely scales well with the others because there's Brawl, as I've said before, is the best one. And as you can see, he's a little bit he's about the same size. About the same size as Brawl. And so far we've gotten three. We've also gotten Blastoff, which I can't remember their names from Warbitron. Does anyone else remember the name of the three? So we can't call them not Swindle, not this, not that. They actually have names.
I do not remember the actual names that they gave them. I do know for a fact, though, when the Blastoff came out, I myself was kind of harsh on it until I started watching more reviews and such. And it seems that was like a production issue when the very first ones came out. There was a few issues with things being a little too tight, but then
I've never had any problems with it.
Some of them. So I'm guessing it probably was like a maybe like a first run, like right at the beginning. I do know for a fact back when they decided to do a masterpiece Diruger that's also known as the Vehicle Voltron for guys out there. They had one release of it that came out. It was a very, very, very short run of those, but then they turned back around and fixed it in a later release that fixed all the issues. So I see a lot of that happening with a lot of these indie toy companies. They tend to try to fix their own problem, which, you know, they all need to kind of follow suit with like what Mastermind Creations did with the Optimus Prime that they had issues with. They obviously went back, retooled, fixed things, and then sent them back out again. So
well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you the things I don't like about it, since everyone, you know, gives rave reviews and everything. They have, and I'll go back to it, they have the cannon, which if I can get it up here, and you can see it has a handle. There we go. And then you flip it, and it has a peg. And there's the peg. And it's supposed to go into these shoulders. Well, what is in their shoulders? They're screws. So you take it and you put it in there. It doesn't go in far enough. So they should have built this up or countersunk the screws or something to make it so that the shoulder cannon would stay on. I mean, it barely stays on there, but you move his arm and it falls off.
Well, something I think they could have done, if you look at the transforming piece that's on the back, couldn't you think they must, you know, they could have came up with some kind of engineering to be able to plug it in back there, or possibly make like a longer post that would make it plug in back there and maybe swivel up and down or something?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, this the peg is for the vehicle mode. Okay? That's what it's for. But, you know, in robot mode, in the show, it was a cannon. He didn't hold it. So if you wanted to put it on the shoulder, I mean, it will stay. See, there it is. It will stay as long as you don't move the toy too much. So
right.
It's got some issues.
Megan, let's just let you know for our viewers, the first one was Airburst, which was the blast off, Heavy yeah. Noisy for Brawl, and Sly Strike for Swindle.
Yeah, so here's the first one.
So obviously Vortex is going to be the next one that comes out.
I don't know.
I see
release dates, don't they?
Yeah. Well, I've seen pictures, and some places have pictures like as far as estimated arrival, going by estimated arrival dates, which we all know is very fluid. Some places mm-hmm. have their own slot, which is called he doesn't have a name yet from what I'm looking at. But some places have the Onslaught next. Some places have Vortex next.
Let's see here.
There's a possibility we might get both at the same time then.
Which kind
of makes sense. We're seeing kind of a little bit of that with the Computron that's coming out. Myself, I haven't gotten a hold of it, but I did see where Piog and Vangelis both got hold of the two first sample pieces of that thing at I believe it was in BotCon. It was
TFCon Canada.
Yeah.
It was TFCon Canada when they did it. They did a live review in front of a live audience, which you know was awesome.
And just to add to that, PlasticCon, TA Duckett from Kuma Style Reviews has the entire set up for review, and it's being sold as a set.
Yes. Kuma Style actually said, hey, I've got this. He did an entire review of it. He talked about all the quality and everything like that. And you're absolutely right. They are trying to sell it as a gift set. So those that are out there after some of these third-party things, it's great to buy them individually, but sometimes it might be better just to hold out and wait till you get the full gift set, because it's cool to get hold of the first two figures, but later on, say they come out with a gift set, it might actually save you a little bit of money. Or it might give you a chance to just stock up so you've got that cash to just dump and buy the whole thing at once. So.
Plus, also, there's less boxes to keep track of and everything else.
Which sometimes those box sets are cool. I mean, if you think about it, when they did Giant into two packs, but then they eventually did one where you can get all six at the same time.
So I'm hoping we see box art for the gift set before too long for Quantron.
Right. We saw blister. It's actually a big blister pack, which is what's crazy about it. It's a blister tray. It's a tray that actually it's more of a clamshell style. But that's kind of cool. That allows you to put those figures back in there. Now, I do know those guys out there that don't like clamshell style because it's very difficult to put the figure back in. Sometimes you might have to deal with that with this. But it's just the way packaging is nowadays. We can't get stuff in styrofoam like we used to get, which would be awesome if somebody would, you know, maybe a box manufacturer out there, like one of these guys out there that does repro boxes and stuff, somehow get a hold of styrofoam to be able to build that, or maybe even just standard foam, which would be
cool. Reminds me of them. Reminds me of Marvel of San Diego put that giant Galactus on a blister card, complete with a little peg hook.
Here's the thing I do like, and most people don't understand. A look at.
I don't want to keep saying that picture.
Picture that I just popped up. Take a look at it.
Look at that thing. It's so
big. Look how big it is.
It's gorgeous. I mean,
but look. Oh, I love it. But look, that's one of the Stunicons. And we know how big it is, you know, what the not Minasaur, how big it is. And you can just kind of figure this thing's going to be massive. I mean,
and here I am sitting looking at my Fans Project add-on kits for the Energon Bruticus, which I love to death. It makes it look so great.
You mean that?
Yeah. Which I love. I mean, that's to me, that was a great Bruticus. Taking the Energon.
That was Bruticus.
It was.
And that's how this came out.
And now it's like, I don't need another Bruticus, but I want another Bruticus.
Oh. To be honest with you, I as you can tell, let me stop this stupid thing here. As you can tell, I bought the individual ones. As you can see, I got one, I got two, I got three. Yeah. But I'm going to get the gift set, and I'm going to get it because this is one set that I want in at least two modes. Bruticus is my favorite combiner out of all of them. Yeah, I have no idea why. I just always thought he was neat in the show. And
he's my favorite.
So I wind up getting two of these damn things. As big as they are, as expensive as they are, I got to make room on the shelf because two of them are going up there.
Yeah, he's my favorite American combiner.
Well, I mean, like I said, if they would release every single solitary one of these combiners in Generation 2 colors, I would purchase them because I actually like the G2 colors. Now, I know some people out there hate that, but think about it. How many people are like raving over this G2 Masterpiece Sideswipe? Hello, G2's awesome. Thank you. Please release these in the right colors for us, guys.
There you go.
And if you guys want
just G2, for you.
Yeah, I know that's awesome, but that's not the real toy. It's just a Photoshop.
It's a digibash, nice. But still, I dig the purple and the blue. I dig that. And I would love to see. Imagine the G2 color scheme. With Onslaught being in that neon green, or no, Onslaught, Brawl being in that neon green, Vortex being in this purple and blue, Blastoff being in an Arctic white with, it was Tiger Stripes, wasn't it?
And a purple.
Was
purple.
It was camo.
Purple camo. Just think about it. I mean, it would be, I dig it. I'd love it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's like, you know, they teased us with the Minasaur. You know, they gave us that one piece, the breakdown in the G2 colors. I would really like to see that full set come out. because that full set needs some love. Those colors need some love. There's a lot of people out there who's like, oh, well, it's gaudy or whatever. Guess what? If you look at your entire array of Transformers you have, this Generation 1, you stand back and look at it, there's a lot of crazy colors there. So what's the difference between that and the G2? Yeah, the G2 is more 90s based, but guess what? There's a lot of guys out there that like those loud, crazy colors. Well, I myself being one, so I would love to see that.
If there wasn't, if Hasbro did not see the fan love for G2, we wouldn't have gotten Amazon G2 Bruticus. How many people bought the Bruticus? This was me included. For all the faults of the toy, the box is freaking awesome. That's what we have on the shelves here in Generation 2. They even got the designer from that time period to come back and create that box just for that Amazon exclusive.
Right. And this is the big – go ahead, Tobias.
No, I just want to say I was one of them who bought it just for the box. I still got it in the box.
Mine's not open either.
Beautiful. I mean, myself, I had it, but I had prior engagements to getting hold of more authentic G2 and G1. So our friend Sideburn 2, he is now the proud owner of my G2 Bruticus I had, and he loves that thing. He thinks it's awesome. He lost it the second he like got it. He's like, holy crap, this thing's cooler than I thought it was. So, he really enjoys it. And that's the whole point of Generation 2, was that weird vibe. Some people don't even like the insignia, and I'm like, you guys need to quit. Get off this high horse about G2. G2 is as vintage as Generation 1. I'm sorry. They're on the same level now. So you kind of got to get over that.
They've
got to get over it.
No, because I wouldn't say that G1 is just as vintage as Diaclone.
Well, that's very true, but I mean, if you think about it, they're all pretty much the same molds, some of them. So there's
But I mean, you're saying that G2 is just as vintage as G1. Well, it's not.
I would consider it
vintage. Don't get me wrong, but you still have levels. You know, Diaclone was first. G1, right. G2. Yeah. You want to get technical? You can go with micro change and blah blah blah. This, I mean. Not going to get into that, but I'll agree with you. It's vintage. How's that?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, they're just as collectible, put it that way. Myself,
yes.
Being really
unfortunately, they have a smaller market, but that's also fortunate for those that are collecting. That means that you have less people to compete against to get the items you want.
Right. Now, but there has been a resurgence, though, in G2, I've noticed. I, myself, being a shopper of Generation 2, there's been a few that are very, very, very difficult to find because of this resurgence that's going on. You got a lot of guys that's already got their Diaclones. They got their G2, their G1s, but they're like now going in and grabbing all the G2 they can. It's becoming slim pickings for G2. So a lot of you guys out there, you need to keep this in mind. Generation 2 is going to be just as viable as G1 and Diaclone one day.
One thing I want to see before we move on is if they do a gift set in G2, I hope they'll get Dr. Smooth to like make a toy commercial for the set, and they wrap it, but it's a completely different wrap.
but this is my thing. I would have liked to see that Superion brought out in Generation 2 colors. I mean, honestly, I think that thing probably would have sold better, but the problems was – oh, it's all the same transformation on limbs. Well, guess what? G1 was the same transformation on every limb. So,
but
what
I
is wrong with aerial bots?
I think the QC hurt that toy more than, because the aerial bots are the aerial bots. They all except for Silverbolt, they all transform the same. I think the QC issues on Uranus hurt it more than the colors.
Right. But one thing I do and have been praying about is when Hasbro does their Operation Combination thing they got coming out right now with all the combiners they're about to release, I hope they've got an ear out for those guys that are G2. Because I guarantee you, if they release a G1 Minasaur and a G2 Minasaur side by side, both will fly off the shelf quicker than they can keep them there, because people are going to buy those like hotcakes. Because if you have an opportunity to take two of the same combiner and be able to swap around limbs and do all different stuff, why wouldn't you? I mean, honestly, collectors are going to snag these things. Kids will eat it up like candy if they're in G2 colors. They will. Kids love bright colors. It's a proven fact. They love them. So why not? Honestly, it's something I think that it's something to look forward to. I mean, I would like to see that Minasaur and that Superion they're coming out with in G2 colors. They do it in G2 colors. I'm sold. I'm still sold on them anyway, but I'm double sold because I'm going to have to buy both. But
let me ask you something else. Just because I was flipping through this, we're doing nothing but news right now, right?
Yep.
Nothing but news. All right. Let me get a good picture of this, because I want to know what people think of this. All right. Let me screen share this.
What is it so our audio guys can actually...
Well, I'll scare you with it first. What is up with Masterpiece Grimlock, with the Masterpiece Wheeljack, and now we can take the mask off, and he has this nice little mustache thing going on, and his little goatee.
That's his animated. That's similar to the animated style he wore as a background character in the animated series.
And my question was, did he have this huge hole in his head when he was doing that?
Well, I think that's just part of taking off the head to reveal that. I think if you put it back on, that hole gets filled by something.
It does. My point being is how hard would it have been just to have a removable mask instead of the whole piece?
It's probably just an Easter egg just for the fans. That's all.
Honestly, I don't think that. I mean, yeah, I think he's right. I think it's more or less an Easter egg. It's. That little hidden thing. It's like when the guys bought MP01, you know, nobody knew that Optimus Prime could do this and then have like this flap up thing, you know, and now and all of a sudden both arms do it. It's kind of an Easter egg thing. It's just there. But most people aren't going to really pose him with that. You know, I don't think very many people are going to pose their G1, you know, this Masterpiece Wheeljack with that.
Well, I thought it was worth mentioning because it just came out. I think it came out yesterday or today. May it came out today.
I actually had a friend of mine on Facebook send that to me, and I'm like, yeah, I want it now. I really, really want it.
I'm trying to find another picture of it, but when it showed the accessory it came with, I thought that was pretty neat. Some of the accessories that it's going to come with.
I don't know exactly what all is he coming with. Amazon. Is it a projector? That crazy device he's got.
The immobilizer.
The immobilizer, yeah. And here's a picture of it. Let me screen share you that. There we go. There's a picture of it right there. Looks like the old portable projectors you got when you went into school, and you saw those, and you knew that you weren't going to have to do any serious learning that day. So, yeah, that brought back some really fond memories for me. I always love that.
Yeah.
But that one doesn't come with a standard release. I don't think so.
That's
Amazon exclusive one.
That's the Amazon immobilizer.
Yeah, that's the immobilizer.
Yeah.
Well, that means that there are going to be a bunch of them selling on eBay.
Yeah, the what comes with them is the little scrambler box he created in Ultimate Doom to free the humans from Dr. Archibald's mind control. Well, device's mind control.
So this is going to be the Amazon exclusive?
No, I think that's a regular exclusive. I believe.
No,
how is that any different?
Well, no, the immobilizer was the one that had the tripod legs.
This thing right here is what's coming in the regular release, or is that the Amazon release?
I think that's Amazon.
It
says right here it's related to Amazon Japanese exclusive.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I got them backwards.
So they're backwards. That's all right. I want to see the other one. I haven't seen a picture of the other one. Where's the picture of the other one?
Is it true that they're actually going to release him in slicer colors, or is that just somebody still doing digibash?
We brought that up on RFC as what they might get away with in the U.S., because it's possible that even if they bring the Marlboro version over, and with there being nothing on there to even relate it to Marlboro cigarettes, the colors themselves might be cause for parental group concerns or things of that nature. And besides, the character as Slice might be slightly better known in the U.S. Slightly.
Yeah, I saw somebody that actually took a G1 Wheeljack and actually painted up to look like Slicer, and it really does look very, very, very good. I'm possibly going to end up doing that myself later on when I start going into the realm of making transforming action masters, because there's a lot of them that need to be done. I also saw somebody take a G1 Jetfire, and I'm trying to remember, it wasn't Axor he made it as. I'm trying to remember which action master it was, but he did it, and it was really, really loud colors, but it was awesome.
I'm sorry, I was totally not paying attention. What action master?
He took a G1 Jetfire and turned it in. It wasn't Axor, because Axor was blue. This one was more of a pink, white, and I can't remember his name. But anyhow, that's for a different subject. And the other news thing we actually have is that Abominus that's coming out.
Oh, yeah.
This thing caught quite the buzz. There are reviews of the Blot that's come out. And Blot is no longer this big, humongous brick that's just all squatty. It actually looks pretty cool now. For those that had the Blot that came with the Prime figures that all combined together to make that Abominus, it's a lot different than that one as well. It's actually pretty cool. Megamus is looking up the picture right now so we can talk about it a little
bit more. Very unsuccessfully. I'm working on it.
Can't find it.
His name is Ogre, I think. Megalus.
If I knew what the damn name of these, I liked it better when they were not whatever.
Yeah.
Not Blot.
Who's making it?
Ogre.
I believe it was TFC, but I'm not sure.
I want to say Make Toys, but maybe I'm – no, I think it's
– No, Amake Toys is doing the copy trial.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, they're also doing a center twin color of their Not Strafe, because Amake Toys is opening up their own store, and their first exclusive is a center twin colored recolor of the Quantron Strafe figure.
So is that a hint that they're going to try to do a shattered glass version of Computron?
God, I hope not, because I don't want to buy a second one. Because I will buy a shattered glass Computron.
I mean, this is a hint toward Make Toys. By the way, I did my own G2 colored Computron. If you want to get photos and such, you can go check out my reviews. It'd be awesome if I got a little bit of a blurb, but that's just me trying to flaunt myself out there. But anyway, it would be actually interesting to see them do a G2 version of that guy. I would love to see a Generation 2 version of Computron. Somebody like
I was hoping E-Hobby might release the Encore Fortress Maximus in Scorponok colors.
Yeah, I saw digibashes of that, and the funny thing is about the Scorponok. When they did that in the Fortress Maximus colors, if anybody remembers the old MicroMaster commercials, there's actually a Scorponok that's in those commercials that are in Fortress Maximus colors.
Yeah, is that one where he's on the bridge and he's like, "Arr."
Yep. And there is actually a There's
awesome.
But anyway, there is actually a few shots, like actual real life shots, not cartoon shots, but real life shots of that toy within that commercial. So my guess is Hasbro possibly was going to do one, but probably scrapped the idea because this was toward the tail end of G1 in the United States, and MicroMasters was kind of a thing they were doing because they were trying to, I guess, kind of segue themselves out of G1 to bring in the Beast Wars stuff and the Generation and 2 stuff.
Action so. Masters. Because that was right before they went to Action Masters.
Yeah. So it was one of those things. And honestly, you know, a lot of people say they sucked, right?
They rock.
Yes.
Love them.
Well, let's put this out there. If Action Masters sucks so bad, would you guys still buy it if a indie toy company came out and reimagined every one of those Action Masters and gave them like crazy articulation?
Well, they already have.
Times better than the articulations they originally
had. No, right here.
They already have.
They're right here. Yes. Yeah. These things are badass.
Rebel Tech.
Oh, they're awesome.
Well, I'm talking about all of them, not just three or however many we got.
And since we've been talking about it, here we go. Rebel Tech. There you go. Not Rebel Tech. There you go. Over here.
Well, yeah, there was that one, and there's the, was it the, Sunstreaker?
Wheeljack, right. Prime.
Now, they came out with, they did recolors of them. I didn't get those. But they did the Action Master colored, it wasn't Action Master colored Wheeljack. It was, heck was the name of that one? The blue one. Can't think of the name of it. Action Master Wheeljack. Repainted. Anyone?
Slicer, if it's blue. Okay. A blue Wheeljack.
Slicer, that's it. They did that one.
Yeah.
So they did a couple of them that were, they wouldn't call it chase figures, but they were really short, short made or whatever you want to call it. They didn't make that many of them. They did a red one of Sunstreaker, I believe, also.
Right.
And I didn't get
but
that one.
The thing is, they only did like a few. My whole thing is if you're going to do Action Masters, you need to do the ones that everybody remembered, like Axor, Omega Supreme, Double Punch. Oh, which? They need to do those. Because those are the ones that a lot of people remembered. And then you go in and do the Prime and then all these other ones. Because, honestly, when it comes to Action Masters, if you're going to do that, why not make these things super articulated and even give us, like, some crazy playset it goes with? So that way, if
you're going to reinvent it in a big
style.
No, wait a minute. Let's think about it. These things right here, which they're making them now, all right, are super cool, super articulating, you know. And they're just badass. And people are going, gaga, I love them. Well, at least I am. But anyway, and then let's look at Action Masters from the – I guess they came out in 89, 90. For that time period, they were like this. That was about as articulating as you could get. The only thing that was different was G.I. Joe had bicep swivels and swivel necks. Other than that, they were right on scale.
And this is for the time, my
point being is for the time, they were articulated, all right? And they were more show accurate, and people just harp on them because, I mean, yeah, you can say it. They were Transformers that didn't transform. They were. But they even came up with a nice little reason why in the comic to appease all those people that are so anal, they got to know why. It's just a toy. It was a way to get the what you saw on TV. And it was show accurate, and because a lot of people back then were G.I. Joe collectors as well as Transformers, and you bridge the gap.
Right.
There you go.
And this is something for you guys out there that are vintage collectors and have bought quite a few Action Masters, and you're like looking at a box full of them that have fallen apart. The O-rings or the rubber band, those things are identical to the same size as the one for the G.I. Joes. So if any of you guys out there are into wanting to repair those guys, you guys can go out there and purchase reproduction O-rings to actually use those on your Action Masters. They do work. Or, I have done a lot of research for that, and a lot of guys out there, you guys should jump on that because, you know, well, that's the fix.
Or if you really want to save money, you go to your Lowe's or Home Depot and you get round washers because they're the same thing.
Well, there you go.
But don't forget to stretch them before you put them on.
Yes.
You the more you know.
The more you beat me to it. Damn it.
Anyhow.
And knowing is half the battle.
We'll drop sandwiches.
Don't be dissing G.I. Joe. No.
Anyhow, I'm going to share this. This is the troll.
Oh, the troll? I thought it was ogre.
We thought it was ogre, but this is troll. This is the third-party blot. Obviously, he is kind of a brick, but he's not like a major brick. He's actually fairly articulated. He's very, very ugly, like he should be. I saw Piog's review of this guy. It's very, very awesome. It's actually a cool toy.
I haven't seen that yet.
It's very interesting, and I really think a lot of you guys out there that are really into your monster bots are actually going to like this. Now, this right here is a picture of the robot mode.
I love the robot mode.
The robot mode's very clean, especially that he's supposed to turn into this crazy squat-looking thing.
And he leaks oil and liquids, and he's always just slimy.
Yeah. And I like the idea that, you know, it does have weapons on it, but, yeah, those weapons will be detachable. He does form a leg or an arm. He does both. So you guys out there with your Scramble City craziness, this will fit the bill. I highly suggest you guys go out there and hunt this guy up because he's really, really neat. And I'm
well, we will as soon as they make him available. God.
Yeah, it'll end up happening.
Instant third-party Transformers. They're out in the stores before they're finished.
Oh, what was that?
Spaceballs.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
Instant cassettes. They're out in the stores before we even finished filming the movie.
Nah. Here it is. Great movie.
It's one of the greatest movies ever.
When did this happen in the movie?
Flying Winnebago yet? Well, is somebody going to make us one of those?
just repaint G1 Rodimus and add some wings.
What was it? Eagle 5?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, hey, just as an update to all of our fans, I'm sorry I've not been more interactive. I have been going to a Fans Project Quarter website. They have an exclusive up now, and I'm getting white screened of death. So if you hear cussing, it's Massey, not me.
Yeah, whatever.
So which exclusive is this that you're after? Enlighten
this,
folks.
This is the trailer that matches the Steel Corps Warbot that came out before Assaulter. So after Defender, which was their Springer homage, they went in a completely different direction as their own original character called Steel Corps, who here he is.
Who is
like
a Power Master, but not really.
Holy crap. You can't even get on the website.
Yeah, I was right in the middle of it, and it crashed. So we're working on it. Now, this is Steel Corps. The closest thing I would call him is he is that universe's Ultra Magnus, but just with the design characteristics. But he's also a Power Master. The core is your smaller character. And now they've made a trailer. And the trailer does not become armor. It just holds other cores that you can get separately down the road. But it also adds a lot of distinctiveness to the vehicle mode. And again, this is just Core by himself.
Now, isn't the rumor that you also are going to get one of the cores, like a red one?
Actually, yeah, you get that with the purchase, and then you will receive. And then with the purchase of either they're also re-releasing And if y'all can do this after I'm done, I would appreciate it. They're re-releasing the actual set that is Steel Corps, the trailer, and the membership to their new club they're creating as well. So as soon as I'm done, y'all can jump on in and can get y'all's. But,
well, if I'm not mistaken, isn't there a third core? Isn't it supposed to be a yellow one they're also releasing?
Well, part of the premium membership that they're offering with purchase as to get their club off the ground is you will get three other characters throughout the course of the year as part of your purchase. I'm guessing with them being free items, they're probably going to be either other core recolors for cores, maybe some extra weapons. I don't know for sure. Whichever set you get the extra add-on figures on down the road as part of this year. So it's like Mad Collector, but not sucking.
Because everybody knows that Fans Project puts out some awesome stuff.
Yeah.
We really do love these guys, and I hope they continue down that road.
Yep.
And I would love see them do more Glacial Bot stuff, but from what I heard, it didn't go so well. So,
yeah. Well, it's
here, but maybe there might be a resurgence considering the aftermarket's actually kind of exploding with that guy. So,
yeah. So I am back to this page cannot be displayed.
I published a link to a picture and.
Oh yeah, yeah. People can see what it looks like without actually going to the website since they can't get on.
Yeah. I will share that. I will screen share that. Here we go. I know it's a little small here. I can't.
Cue Megamus.
I know. That's what she said. But considering Megamus isn't here to say that.
Oh, okay.
We have to have the that's what she said joke here.
Yeah. So you can see it adds a lot of mass, a lot of, again, Ultra Magnus-y design cues, I think. Again, this is not meant to be Ultra Magnus. It's just their Ultra Magnus.
Okay, my question is, does the back of the trailer open for you to be able to put anything in the back?
The cores, yes. I have not seen a picture of it opened, but from what I've read, it is supposed to hold, basically it's a troop transport. That you can carry your other cores in it.
Will it allow you? Okay. And the other question I have is this going to become an add-on to the existing robot, or is this like a standalone
base? It's just a standalone. And they said in the recent press release, it doesn't become armor. It's not a battle station. It's a trailer, and it holds crap. But it's a good-looking trailer.
Awesome.
So again, if everybody can wait until I'm done and then go to the website, I would appreciate it.
Yeah, it's probably not happening because they're probably flooding it, which is obvious because we got a lot of people out there that are fans of this stuff.
No, see, I'm actually buying this for Massey for his birthday. So that way, if y'all don't want to disappoint Massey, you'll need to let me go ahead. I'll try cat guilt, see if that works. But yeah, that's...
I was thinking of a good joke. I almost had it, and
that's what
I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go the high road. It was along those lines. Had something to do with cats and teasing but I'm not going to go that. Okay. I'm not going to do it. We're going to go the high road. All right. Are we done with the news? The boring news?
No, we're not. We still have to talk about Masterpiece Star Saver. Why have we not talked about this thing? This
because
thing
is about, we talk, up the internet. Because we talked about G2 for 30 minutes.
Anyhow, I do have some exclusive images here if I can get them load. Here we go. Thanks to our friends at TFW 2005. Here is a picture of Saber in his jet mode holding up his sword. And obviously the nose of the jet does come off and become a shield. Just like the Generation 1, which is pretty awesome. I do like the way if you look at the way the legs honestly almost look like the Generation 1 legs.
The whole thing does.
It just looks
awesome. It looks like a G1 with more articulation. I hope, and I know it's not, but I hope that it's going to be a lot bigger than a G1, but it won't be.
Oh, it won't be.
I'm sorry, so far, I'm disappointed.
This is what
the sword looks like.
There are comparison shots with the G1 figure.
Yeah, honestly, the thing is, the Brainmaster is like the size of a Diaclone figure, which is very scary. Considering if anybody knows that the articulation, and even if you own a Diaclone figure,
there you go.
Them having diecast.
Here's my favorite. You ready? There you go. Can you see that? Let me get that back here. That's a Diaclone and a quarter.
Yeah, that
tells you how small they are.
It's extremely small, and that's how small the Brainmaster is going to be on this guy. Now we're not really knocking this toy, and honestly, it's kind of cool that they have all these different attachments for the sword. The sword's got a longer blade for the larger robot mode versus the smaller one, which is nice. And actually comes with an attachment handle in order to make it so that way it holds better in the hands. But honestly, this is going to be a great toy, but this is going to be a toy I think that a lot of people are going to be very frightened to try to transform because of how small that Brainmaster is actually going to be.
Well, Plasticon, I brought this up elsewhere, and I think what is going to happen is the Brainmaster goes into the chest, and when the chest closes, the small Brainmaster probably clips into place, which unlocks a feature inside the chest. So when you close the chest with that point depressed, it will push the head up into place as if you had the old Brainmaster sliding into place. But right. it's just the head. So the Diaclone figure probably snaps in and unlocks a hidden elevator function that raises the faceplate up. That way the Diaclone itself, the small Diaclone size piece, is not actually under any pressure to create the head.
Right. And honestly, this is a size comparison picture for our audio guys. Pretty much the masterpiece is top of the shoulders. Not the laser cannons, but the top of the shoulders of the masterpiece comes up equivalent to the laser cannon portion on the Generation 1. If any of you guys have never seen a G1 or seen how big they are, you can actually go check out my review of my custom I've done of this guy. But you guys can tell Star Saber is a very big toy. It's huge.
But have they done one next to a masterpiece like a Masterpiece Prime? An MP10? Well, have they done a size comparison?
I believe they have.
Let me look, because I'm not sure.
I was
out of town all week, and I'm playing catch up with news.
I can do a size comparison of a G1 versus MP10, and then you could do a three-way comparison like that and figure out about how tall it's going to be. But see if someone actually did an MP10 next to it.
I'm looking now. Here we go. This may be it. I swear, I thought this was Wing Saber for a second. No, I'm sorry. That's a mock-up. That won't work, sorry. My Google foo is weak tonight.
At any rate, we can tell that this guy's going to be a fairly large masterpiece. It's probably going to be nowhere near as big as everybody's going to want it to be. But I think it's still going to size fine. I don't think it's going to be bigger than the Ultra Magnus. I really think those two are probably going to be about the same height.
Honestly. Well, actually, the price point for both Magnus and Star Saber is plus or minus about $20. So The good thing is, with the price points being that close, if we get an Ultra Magnus here in the U.S., if Hasbro thinks it could sell enough in the U.S. as possible, we might get a U.S. release of Star Saber. But I also brought this up. I got a feeling that Star Saber will do very well in Japan because he's a classic Japanese character. U.S. sales, I'm not thinking will be as big.
No, honestly, what I see is the Ultra Magnus coming over here and the Star Saber staying over there, honestly.
Or it becomes a web exclusive for Big Bad or Captured Prey or TF Source or somebody else.
Right. And this is my thing. honestly, if that toy itself, if that toy actually does very well in sales, I could probably see Hasbro and Takara teaming up to make a Victory Leo to attach to it.
Yeah,
which if they did that, that would be like one of the best masterpieces they've ever released if they actually gave us a Victory Leo to attach to it. Yeah. Considering Victory Leo is a triple changer, it's very interesting, and then it also combines in two different modes.
All right, do you have that picture? Cool. Pop up that picture that showed the original, even though this is a knockoff, it's the same size, next to it, because if you look, he comes to about the shoulder. So he's about shoulder height, MP10. Yeah. So if you look at the other picture, go ahead and hit that one.
Yeah, honestly, he's going to tower above MP10.
Yeah. Probably MP10 is going to come up on
those vents in the front.
Yeah, the new Star Saber. Yeah, the vents there in the front is about where he'll probably land.
That's pretty big. That's a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be.
And to be honest,
Now. All right, that's enough of that. Knock it off. That's sexual harassment. Stop it.
Boy, he's got delusions of grandeur, don't he?
You like that. That's right. Yeah. Anyway,
Don, I know you were looking extra hard. Stop it.
I know I'm looking at Matthew trying to get my attention for more food.
Stop gazing. Anyway, I believe that's all we got for news for now. If there's anything we didn't touch base on, you guys let us know on our Facebook, and we will try to touch base on that stuff next week. We do have a comic cast that comes up every Thursday now. So if you guys want to check that out on this channel, go for it. I'm not absolutely sure on the times, but I'm sure we're going to have it posted somewhere on the Facebook page. And normally it'll be tweeted for those guys out there that follow Twitter and follow the YouTube as well. But anyhow, since we plugged that, let's move on to Shogun Warriors.
How about we do a little quick Ouch My Wallet?
Okay, let's do that, and then we'll talk about your Shogun Warriors.
Well, I was thinking we could do Ouch My Wallet, and you could go first.
Okay, I'll go first. First thing I purchased recently, from the eBads, as everybody wants to call them, actually got me a knockoff version of a Joyride. It came in this blister card, which obviously you can tell is fairly beat up. There's nothing on the back. It's completely blank. It is a KO. But the crazy thing about this KO is it's a one-to-one scale. It's very good quality. I have never seen this KO before. I think it's pretty rare. The crazy thing is it did come with the original gun, but it came with a pounce and wingspan rifle as well. So it came with two rifles. This is the random thing. Did not come with a Power Master, but you can, it does have, you know, the buttons up high enough so you don't even really need it. So you just push it down and it does its thing. This thing's actually pretty good quality. So any of you guys out there that are in the market for knockoffs or things that are very difficult to find, this is one you might want to try to snag. And the crazy thing is, this thing actually does have the Hasbro stamping on the bottom, which is very rare to find in a KO. Because normally they get rid of that. And this says 1987 Hasbro all over it. And right under that is the Takari. The Takara. Takari. What is this? Atari? Anyway.
No, it's Dot Tari.
Dot Tari. Yeah. Let's go back and play some Oregon Trail, okay? Anyway. The other thing I got, and a lot of people think this is kind of silly and kind of crazy, and I think it's like the coolest thing in the world, I purchased me a Potato Head. Which Potato Head did I buy? Well, of course, Grimlock, because he's awesome. It is like the cutest and coolest thing I've ever purchased. It's very cheap. They're $15. And it's like any other Potato Head you guys have ever had. It's the same quality kind of plastic. They're really, really, really cool. He does have a lot of articulation. His head does move around. He's got the opening jaws. He moves his arms around. I mean, it's a Potato Head, for God's sake. It's all these little peg things. So, and the cool thing is he actually comes with a little Optimus Prime. That's a Potato Head as well. That comes with a shield. And this sword portion, you can pull it out. And then you can make your Potato Head Grimlock breathe fire, roar fire. So, you know, when your parents told you never to play with your food, well, guess what? You get to play with your food now. So, you guys rush out to your local Walmart because this guy's only like $15 and get you one because these Potato Heads are awesome. I did not get the Starscream. I saw the Starscream, but I passed up on it because I wanted Grimlock. Because it's huge. I mean, look how big this thing is. It's not small.
Hey, Tobias, do you all get this kind of the auxiliary merchandise over there as well? Like, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Because it seems like Mr. Potato Head would be something that would be very, very U.S.
It is. Or, we've never got any Mr. Potato Heads, to my knowledge, here in Sweden.
Look, Optimus Prime has ears.
Well, it's Optimash Prime, I believe is what they called him. Optimash Prime.
And here he is without his helmet. It just looks goofy. And you know what? I don't care. It's awesome. So, any of you guys out there think you're too old to play with Potato Heads, get over it. This is really, really cool. I highly suggest you guys go out there and purchase one because these things are fun. I mean, they really are. And actually, if you want to, you can plug the shield on his back like this so he doesn't have to hold the shield.
And he's out of here.
Yep. But that's all I've got. So let's go around the table here. And Megamist, you're going to go last. let's talk to Tobias.
Yeah.
What did you get over that?
Real quick.
What did you get across the lake?
We don't know
what you're purchasing across the lake there.
Wait a minute. Real quick. When you did that, this is what I thought of. That is awesome.
Yeah. It's well.
Who else thought of this picture that's been around forever? I did.
Well, that's also a mental health guy.
Post that picture on our Facebook page.
That's the guy that's the Metal Hulk guy. He also has a Metal Hulk costume that's pretty awesome too.
Yeah, but he'll go down his history for that picture right there. That picture is awesome.
Yes, awesome is.
And he can substitute for Mr. Potato Head.
Well, I guess I could say I did get one more thing that was very, 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 very expensive. I did finally from my college get my diploma. It did come in the mail finally, so I'm happy.
Wow,
you're a college graduate.
Here's the thing,
a college graduate, right?
whoa. Here's the thing, when you can transform that into a career and make some money, then we'll be impressed.
Oh well, what the hell do you think I'm trying to do anyway?
I have to get Megamus internet for that burn. I have to give him internet for a burn. Okay, so guys, what'd you get? Shock and Amazus.
Yeah. I got this beauty. It's a fans project, Colombia. The partner there is a weapon at the moment.
Oh, sweet. If I wasn't getting the fans toys, Dinobots, I would be getting those. Those. But...
I love this toy, this Colombia. I didn't really think much about it when I pre-ordered it because I thought, it looks cool. I ordered one of those, and now that I got in, it's awesome.
That was the first company to actually start with a sludge. No one else has started with a sludge yet.
Okay, so how do you feel about the toy? What do you feel about the quality and such on that?
Yeah, I think the quality is really great. It's what you expect about, my experience with Fans Project toys. It's the same kind of plastic as we've seen before. I think it's really great. I have no QC issues with this one.
So the difference between that one and the one, the exclusive at TFCon, is the color of the plastic on some of the parts is not gold, and it comes with a different – it doesn't come with the Diaclone driver. It comes with a – is that kind of a Target Master, a melee weapon master or whatever?
Yeah, weapon. You see here, I got them as an axe at the moment. Yeah.
There's also some chrome applications that aren't.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I thought one of them was like gold chrome, and then one of them is just painted gold.
Yeah, this one is painted gold or bronze or something like that. But otherwise, it's just the same.
Now everyone may already know this, but when I first saw it, I thought, well, this is great. I'll have something to put next to my masterpiece Grimlock and my Scoria and all that. But it is not to scale with the masterpiece. It's more of a classic. Yeah, I would say it's more in scale with the classics, Chug, whatever you want to call it, for your scaling purposes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but I love the quality of it. It doesn't feel like soft plastic or something like that. And the transformation is really simple. I don't recommend people using this booklet that came with it, with the instructions. It doesn't make sense at all most of the time. So just study the figure and transform it yourself. You manage it.
You know, that's one thing I'm just going to bring up real quick is a third party. If those of you that watch the show, and Hasbro, if you by chance watch the show, or hear about it in some fashion.
Of course they do. Everyone watches this show.
Please, for the love of God, work on your instruction manuals. Yes, I know a lot. I know there's internet people, reviewers. We can watch the videos and we can figure them out for ourselves. But part of me, the nostalgia when I was a kid, was getting that instruction manual and sitting down with it and doing it step by step, see how the figure unfolded. You can't do that nowadays because none of the instructions really are worth a flip. And I'm sorry to lump everybody in the same boat, but if third party companies, please, if English is not your primary language, that's not a slam against anybody. I'm just saying, ask somebody to help you with that if you need help. Hasbro, English is your first language probably. Please work on the instruction manuals.
This is a point that me and Don actually talked about before the actual show. If it's so expensive to print these things out and put these pieces of paper within a box, then why not do a digital version? Because when this is a modern age now. It would be actually awesome if somebody out there scanned every single solitary Transformer instruction booklet they had and gave us an archive. And you know what would be probably the coolest thing in the world to see somebody do? Make it so that way it's an application you put on your phone. If you did that, you would make a fortune. That is for you programmers out there that want to make some money. That's the easiest way of doing it. I'm just giving you guys hints Because some guys like me that, you know, old school and stuff like that, yeah, sometimes guess what? When you buy your old blaster or whatever, sometimes you want to actually look at the old instructions. You might know how to do it, but sometimes you want to see what the instructions entailed.
Now, this is one thing I want to ask.
There's times that we can't find instructions for these. They're expensive.
Now, all of y'all are more computer literate than I am. Again, I used dial-up until 4 years ago for internet, so I'm not one on keeping up with the Joneses. If these things are all designed in CAD, and there's wireframe models, there's animations, so basically the entire process of how the figure transforms in some fashion is on a computer step by step by step, so they can do the QC issues throughout the design and production process. I would have to imagine that's a standard. If you don't want to make a actual paper instruction manual, or if you want to, could you not use those computer generated steps as your visuals for the instruction manual? Because if it works on screen visually and the parts show what changes, and you can understand it as a step-by-step process in the manufacturing layout, can't you just use those as your instruction manual?
Well, this is the touch base with them. Let them know. Lego does that. You can go to Lego, and you can get instructions for toys that haven't been produced over 30 to 40 years ago. They keep these instructions, and they put them on there so that way you can get hold of them. So my suggestion to anybody out there, and some of you guys out there that are big collectors that have almost everything, be the first guy. Set up that website, do that thing, and give us a freaking app on a phone, and you are got it gold. You will make money left and right off of that because people are going to want that. There are a lot of people out there that, I mean, even the guys out there doing third party, this is an excellent option for you guys. Yeah, try to meld together and make one site that gives us all these instructions, and people will just lose their minds over it because they'll be like, holy crap, I can just go to here and get this. Because YouTube's great to watch people do it physically right there. But some people want to actually read the instructions or actually see what the manufacturer said to do with the product as well. It will kind of get rid of some of the QC issues and stuff that some people cause when they transform something incorrectly. So,
Plasticon, and while you were saying that, I mentioned, I remembered a instruction database that existed a while back. Apparently, it's still ongoing at Unicron.com.
And can you link that and throw that on Facebook?
Yeah, I'm getting that now. Let me get over here. Oh, heck, the page loaded. Finally.
Okay.
There we go. See if that works. Because, like I said, I remember it from a long time ago, and...
I'm going to screen share this. This is Unicron.com. Pretty much has quite a few here. Generation 1 has 315 different instructions. That's just for G1, guys. Takara only has one, which is kind of odd. But it goes all the way up to movie AOE, all the way up to 2014. So it looks like they kept this up pretty good. I'm not really seeing anything that's missing so far. I don't see Transformers Go on here, but any of you guys out there that are willing to help possibly out the guy that's actually trying to build this website up, it'd be interesting to see this turn into a phone app. Because a lot of people out there I know live on their phones. Some of them literally have to download even our audio podcast just to get by in order to listen to what's going on because they don't have computers or they don't have time to sit down in front of a computer and type everything in. You know, I understand everybody's got a very busy life and the way lifestyles are nowadays. So it would be really interesting to see this kind of thing turned into an application on a phone. I don't see why that would be an issue. Yeah.
And also, if they could do that, if you're out, say, at a show or a flea market, and you find a figure that you don't have but also may not know, is it complete? Is it missing anything? Are there any joint or issue problems? If they had an instruction manual, you could check out the figure before you buy it and see what issues there were.
Right. And some of you guys out there that buy these toys and you're a customizer and you had issues with something and something broke or something, there you go. You put in the instructions, this piece is this, and you label the pieces, whatever number that is or whatever. That's an option for you to be able to just ship out the piece to replace the one for a busted item. So that way it gets rid of a lot of your guys' QC issues. That's something that Lego and Playmobil that I know of do, that if you have an issue when you get an item, that actually you can just tell them and they will ship it out to you free. And honestly, that should be free, because who really wants to pay for something being messed up? Because what this does is it helps out your guys' reputation, it increases your sales, and it really helps people want to actually come purchase your product, especially if you're wanting to make that branch out to be a bigger thing. This is actually a great idea, and I really think somebody out there should be listening and saying, hey, make this a phone app, and I can make a ton of money, and even make it more detailed so that way I can buy replacement parts if I need to. Especially some of those guys out there that buy generation and generation one and two. Sometimes you guys are confused with what gun goes to what.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be really interesting to see, like, because you got the guns and stuff that are in the instructions. It literally shows what the gun looks like. There it is. You'll be able to figure it out from that.
Yeah. Another
thing, just to help these guys out. Go ahead, Tobias.
Yeah. That was the instructions for that fans project that started it all. It's really crappy instructions, yeah. I just want to point out something else. This little Dreepan, I think its name is. Mm-hmm. Weird. The difference between that exclusive Diaclone version that we talked about before and this one, that this one comes with, oh, I got it backwards. You see, he's got an axe and he's got a shield on his arm. I pegged it on the arm there. There you got it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got this blade sticking off his legs as well.
Now, it looks like
he transforms into an axe.
It looks like if you didn't have all the axe kibble on him, if you probably removed all that stuff, looking at just the articulation of that figure, it looks a lot like that Diaclone figure.
It is. Pretty much a Diaclone figure. It got jointed elbows. Oh, where's the camera? There. So there's a double jointed elbow. And,
there you go, Evangelist, your double jointed elbows.
Yep.
Anyway.
and you can turn the head as well. Oh, I'm going off camera all day. It's pretty small, as you see. So. But yeah, it's a Diaclone driver thingy. So I'm
yeah,
happy
that's,
with
that's,
this.
I think that's probably one of the biggest things doing with those Dinobots that's coming out. It actually kind of looked like, you know, not really a target master, but a melee master, which is kind of interesting. That's a cool concept. It's kind of like the Power Core combiner guys that they came with, the little bitty Micron dudes, which was really neat. And honestly, I thought when, you know, Power Core came out with those little guys, I really thought that was one of the best things for that line. Although the combining limb bits didn't really do that well, the standalone figures themselves, along with the little bitty microphones, that worked out pretty good. I think that's something that a lot of our toys should continue down that route, really. I think we should have more large figure with a smaller figure that turns into a weapon or something. Those are kind of nice.
Yeah. And another thing about this Columpio figure is. It's got a lot of articulation, double jointed knees and so forth. But there's so much joints on this one. So when you have him in beast mode or in his dinosaur mode, you have a problem posing him because the legs are all over the place. And yeah, if you understand what I mean. So there's
well,
so many joints.
I can understand why they wanted to give it all different kind of articulation, because if you look at the Generation 1, yeah. It didn't have much articulation whatsoever. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, I think the front legs, you couldn't even move because its arms literally had to fold over its chest. Am I correct?
That's correct. Yep.
Correct.
Yeah.
So the G1, I think, only had like back leg articulation. It was very limited, too. So,
his head.
Yeah, its head moved up and down.
That's right. You could say yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, yes. Tobias, do you plan on getting the next one, do you think? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. If it's up to the same standard as this one, and that's as awesome looking as this one, I will certainly go for him as well. And actually, on this, I don't know if you can see it here. Yeah, you have seen this before. It's a prototype for the second and the third one.
So it looks like they're going. Are they going to do Grimlock last? Is that what it looks like?
Yeah, it looks like that. Yeah.
I would think they would want to save Grimlock till last, because it seems like a lot of these guys that are doing third party, they're coming out either with the Triceratops or a Grimlock or something like that. They're not starting out with like the guy that was pretty much forgotten first. So. Yeah.
Well, Fans Toys is also saving their Grimlock for last as well, so it might be a battle. I mean, if you don't have a masterpiece Grimlock or want one a little more accurate, it's going to come down to again the battle of the Grimlocks.
Yeah.
Okay, Tobias, you get anything else?
Yeah, I'm not going to show at all because it's a bit off topic here, but I got a lot of G.I. Joe 50th anniversary stuff here, so I got the. A Ghost Hawk and the Cobra Wolf. That's it. It's really cool.
Oh, nice.
And
awesome.
All the other figures as well. Before the Hawk. Yeah, no, the Vamp Mark II and so forth. But another thing I got, and I got to show this, even if it's off topic. It's from Nika. It's Planet of the Apes, Dr. Zaius.
Oh, nice.
Every time I have, I'm sorry. Yeah.
And the Gorilla Soldier. It's the first wave. I don't know if it's software. But they're really
nice. How's the quality on those guys? Pretty good?
Yeah, it's really good quality.
How's the paint? That's my question. How's the paint? Because they're notorious for paint not going right.
Yeah, I know that, and that's actually the first thing I looked at when I unpacked the figures, and it's really good. I can say it's really good. I haven't spotted anything on them that's a flaw or a missed paint job. It's really good. Solid work.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, every time I hear someone say Dr. Zaius, what pops in my head is Amadeus, because I saw that many years ago. Dr. Zaius.
Yeah,
Dr. Zaius.
Simpsons. Yeah.
Well, now, did you have any problem with the joints?
Go ahead.
Did you have any problem?
Sorry.
Oh, no, I say, did you have any problem with the joints? Because NECA's real bad about overpainting and the joints pretty much being frozen in place.
Yeah, I know. It's the same thing there. I checked them, all three of them, and they're really good. They really did a solid job on this one. Paint-wise and sculpting, of course, really, really good. And the accessories for this these figures are great. You got the scroll holders for Dr. Zaius and Cornelius. And you get the rifle and a baton for the Gorilla Soldier.
Oh, and, cool.
Yeah, and I haven't seen any QCs on this one,
yeah.
Paint-wise.
And What was it, Mark or Donnie Wahlberg? One of the two was in the. So I don't guess he's getting a figure, or am I thinking the wrong movie?
Oh, you're thinking the wrong movie.
Yeah, okay. That Planet of the Apes movie doesn't exist in my universe.
Thank you.
Thank you. Like Highlander 2, if they had made a Highlander 2.
All right.
Yeah, that one didn't exist either.
Wow. Nope.
So.
Yeah, that was
you got anything else?
Ouch.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Alrighty, Don, enlighten us.
$125 vet bill for boarding Massey for the past week, because I was helping out with my company. All we had was the store, the chain that I work for, and they were behind on the figures, and there was nothing else in town to look. I couldn't even. There's not even a Walgreens to look for the Boba Fett that I want. So I have found nothing for almost 3 weeks now, except for Cliff Jumper and Nemesis Prime. From the Legends wave, which are repaints of the first wave of Bumblebee and Optimus.
Did you get them?
Yeah, because I was bored and I had 15 bucks.
How do you feel about those?
About the Optimus? Mm-hmm. Well, it's not that great of a mold, but in Nemesis colors with the Spinister purple, it's a really striking combination. So it visually is a very eye-popping look. The mold itself, I'm kind of I like the Bumblebee mold better than the Optimus mold as far as the transformation goes. I like the Cliff Jumper from the fact that the cannon, you can say it's the cannon he had in More Than Meets the Eye, the first episode when he tries to shoot Megatron and he misses. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like that, but you know, it's. I got them basically because I was bored and I had some money in PayPal. I thought, that's okay, I'll get them.
Yeah, honestly, myself, I think that mold, that Bumblebee mold, is pretty solid, and I would like to see them maybe re-release it in a hubcap. That'd be kind of cool if they...
Well,
give us, not necessarily yellow, but maybe give it more of a orangish hue or something to kind of make it slightly different. But not completely different. That'd be really good.
Well, the Cliff Jumper is the same head as Bumblebee. They didn't change that. So Hubcap, they kind of would need to change the head because he does have a slightly different design. Heck, you know, if they wanted, they could make Hubcap. They could do Glyph. They could do Tap Out. So, you know, that mold still has a lot. For BotCon, since those were BotCon exclusive. For Tap Out and Glyph, they could use that new mold if they wanted to revisit those characters.
Now, I'd like to see them reuse the mold. I mean, if anything, do it in gold chrome. That'd be awesome to see a G2 Bumblebee out of that, and maybe
they're chroming everything else.
I mean, honestly, if they're gonna use chrome, chrome us a freaking gold bug and a damn hubcap out of that mold, and I'd be happy. I don't know anybody else. I think some other people would be pretty ecstatic about that, but you know, it's not hard to do, guys. Come on, simple. Was that all you got?
Yeah, that's. I mean, literally, I was in a town where there was the only thing I saw that I had not seen before. This is not Transformers. Y'all remember the Young Justice line of toys from a couple years ago? Mm-hmm. Remember the nice 6-inch diorama figures? They had a Batman that I've only seen pictures of before and a Kid Flash diorama that I've never seen. Other than that, I haven't seen anything. But supposedly Jetfires are hitting Toys R Us's and Walmart are supposed to be getting Age of Extinction Wave 3, which is Drift, the Helicopter Drift, and Slog, which is the Dinobot, and Roadbuster and Skybite.
Nice.
So, there we go.
Okay. Moving on to Megamus. You have the floor now, buddy.
Oh, I didn't get nothing. I've got lies.
You got something.
Let's start with this. I got... There's one.
There's two.
There's two. Three.
Uh-oh. Hello.
Four.
You got some GPS there.
Here we go. Here we go. What's that? What's that? What's that? That makes five. Right? Five.
Right. Five.
Five.
Of the six.
Pretender monsters. Six. Right there.
Oh, darn. He's got
all of
them.
Complete
thing.
Set.
He got two that have complete GPS problems.
All of it. So that was my big now, neat purchase.
Well, I got to ask, are you going to open them and combine them, or are those going to be on card?
Oh, there's a card because I've got a complete one right there.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll, okay. Well,
but cool. Here's the funny part. When I bought them, they were in this. And so I said, okay, here's your money. And I took the nice tote and I walked off. So they're still in the tote I bought them from. So I even got a little tote out of that. So that was good. That's good. But anyway, well,
that's, you know,
people have seen that. You've seen that.
Yeah, that's
that. Here is what I'm most happy about. This has taken me 2 years to find. And it is a convert of bots. And everyone's going to say, oh, that's just that's Shockwave. No, it's
Shockwave.
Can you read what it says? Let me get it in the right spot. Right there. N-4-SR, which says Enforcer. This was the Enforcer made by Village Toys back in the 80s. Extremely hard to find. Now, what makes him so unique? Well, you can see the little barrel is purple. It's purple. You get some really, really neat instructions. And no, there's nothing wrong with your monitor or whatever. These are about as fuzzy in real life as they are on your screen right now. So, gotta love quality. So let's pop this sucker open. So we'll slide him out.
Unboxing.
He comes in a wonderful red satin finished backing with a wonderful black bread tie that you would have on your Wonder Bread. Because only the best, right?
Right.
Your definition of satin is a little bit broad.
So is my Wonder Bread tie. So what else? Anywho. Here he is. Okay. Now. Die cast. The hose is not rubber. It's actually like it's thick plastic. But
I'm
this will be the first time.
If
so,
you look at the ears and the hand guards, those are all purple.
Yeah, even his little wee-wee. See? Even his little wee-wee.
So there are some major differences between him, Shockwave, and Shockwave.
Yeah, now there's no stamping on the inside. Everything else is the same. You fold those up.
What color is the sight?
We'll find out. We'll spin him down. And I don't have any batteries to test him.
How's the quality of the plastic feel?
Very thin. It's a little thinner than like a G1, but not so much that I would be afraid that it's going to break. As it probably will break in front of me on TV, but on camera. But you know what? That's all right. So I'm going to get him all together here.
Science, he's got some good solid ratcheting still on him.
Yeah, it's yeah. All. I got to line it up. That's what she said. She said, line it up.
I love KOs that actually have really good ratcheting. That's pretty hard to find sometimes.
All right. So there that is. Then you get that wonderful purple.
But are they buttery smooth rashes? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, they're not bad. There it is. Now, it has a clear sight.
Now, that looks nice. I like that's pretty.
It's like very that. Interesting. Now, the one thing I did notice, because when I got it, the first thing I wanted to know is what's always missing on a Shockwave? It's the battery cover. And here's the battery cover. And it actually does say, let me make sure I read it right the first time. Okay, here's the difference. You can see that. If anyone knows anything about their Shockwaves, in that little thing there, you probably can't read it.
Mm-hmm.
It says made in China. On a G1, it would say, does anyone know? This is a good trivia question.
Made say in it. Japan?
No.
Takara?
No. Made in Korea.
Oh, that's right, because it was an
import.
Yeah. I myself, I'm missing a Shockwave in my collection, so if anybody wants to hook me up with a decent one, I need one.
This is the third one I've seen. A guy named Bradford J on the boards got one, and he didn't know anything about it. Or when he got it, it was about the same time that I heard about it, and I started looking for it. We found one. There's a website where I saw one in this one. I'm not saying that there's only three in existence. I'm just saying that they're pretty rare for a cheap knockoff. Now, what does that mean?
You need to put batteries.
It's a cheap knockoff. It is. It's inferior plastic. It's gaudy. The electronics are probably inferior too.
Like I said, you need to
even the box is kind of thin plastic or paper and everything. But I mean, look at it. It's awesome. There's just not many of them around. So yeah, this was. I was like just totally stoked when this came up. And this was one of those things. I've actually had this box for almost 2 years now. The box. And out of the blue on wonderful Evil Bay, because all wonderful things happen on Evil Bay, someone put this up for sale. And I bought it. So after 2 years, I finally got one. The Enforcer. Which was made by Village Toys, a 100% knockoff of Shockwave.
But an awesome.
Absolutely. So, there you go. That was my big purchase. And I actually am more proud of this than I am of that carded Monstructor.
Oh, well, then I'll give you $25 for the Monstructor.
Oh, I'm sure you would. You know what I'll give you? I'll give you the toad it came in.
The toad's not even worth like $3.
But look at this. I mean, for as old as it is.
Oh yeah, I mean, and I love the mixed match colors. It actually works well for some reason.
Yeah.
Hey, it's G2 Shockwave.
Yeah, I was about to say that's pretty G2-ish.
Can you see it? Quit looking at my nipples, Don. Anyway, I mean, you can't see, but he's standing. I mean, there he is.
He's still standing. Now, are the feet die-cast?
Yeah, his legs
yes.
don't.
His yeah, legs but his knees, the ratchets like in the knees are what's always bad on a G1 Shockwave. And if you can, let me see if I can get this to where you can see it. There he is. You ready?
Yeah.
He's solid. Good old Chinese knockoff engineering.
I know, right? Perfect.
Gotta love it.
Because back then they actually followed the entire mold. They didn't try to cut corners like they do nowadays with some.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally the funny thing is the only thing I think is funny. Is there are absolutely they chintzed out, they made a chintzy on two things other than there's no paint apps. If you look, like the eye's not even painted.
Okay, but, since we're on the topic of shockwaves, are you familiar with one that looks like Shackwave, but it's got a little switch on the back, so that way you can actually change what sounds it makes?
Yeah, it was called Seven Changer. Yeah.
Do you happen to have one?
I'm sure I've had different ones. The only one that I kept was the 4-star one and the actual Shock or Galactic Man, which was most people
consider. That's the one with the weird looking barrel, right?
No, it's just a gray Shockwave.
Okay.
Before Shackwave, there was called Galactic Man. It's called Astro. I'm sorry, Astro or Galactic. And they're all the same. There's another one that actually had the clear plastic here was actually pink, and so was the back piece here was pink. That was another knockoff. But quality's about the same on all of them. This one, like I said, they didn't do the paint apps. And the two things that I think are subpar are the spring for the head, because it doesn't really – that would be completely popped up, and you can see it just a little. It'll sit, but, I mean, if you really wiggle it, but see, but it doesn't. And then, of course, the hose is not a rubber hose. It is actually plastic, like electrical tubing. Plastic.
But so other than probably that, will last longer than
I could go through 20 Shockwaves and not find one that will stand as perfect as this one does. I mean, they just don't. So, very nice piece. Very hard to find.
Awesome piece of toy.
Yeah. And well, weird.
But
what's up?
Hey, Bryce.
Oh,
anyhow.
Jesus criminy. You come in right at the very end.
We have Canadian Bacon that just walked in. Brycey here. How's it going, man?
Not bad. Yeah, but
we're just going over our purchases of the week. You've completely missed our...
pretty much winding down. We talked about the news and all that. We made fun of you. That took an hour. I mean,
yeah, it takes
you
an hour to make fun of Canada, you know.
Yeah, you gotta find something to make fun of, right? It takes a while.
Trust me, it was just we were going, whoa, enough. So we don't want to beat you up too bad.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, you know, if you want to know what we said or whatever, you just have to watch it yourself because you weren't here. So
no, I had a few beers.
Well, I had a few beers.
Okay,
Canadian beers.
The beers.
Yeah.
So, Brycey, what did you get this week?
Nothing that's arrived yet. I picked up a boxed Japanese.
You know how that Canadian mail is.
Yeah, and a couple Firecons.
No.
Master Force ones.
Which ones were they?
Guzzle and Jabal.
Oh, nice.
Did you say Jackoff?
I heard you've been after those two for a while.
Yeah, I got lucky and
Bryce's been after a jackoff for a while now.
Some of these.
He tells me all the time, man, if I could just find one of those jackoffs, man.
Megan, no. Be nice.
Look, Marvel, I didn't talk about your pussy. I mean your cat, so
Hey. You got lucky enough and found an instructor and a nice KO Shockwave. You don't want to talk karma.
I am talking karma. I'm on top. You know, I gotta level out.
Besides, I told you before,
I was going to pass on the whole joke about you teasing and your cat. So I'm...
Who's teasing?
We'll leave it at that.
Hey. He's
See?
So
Even he got
He's just trying to be a boy.
Even Bryce, he got it.
Anyhow, Bryce, what else you got coming on?
A crap ton of stuff that I just don't have here yet.
What is this crap ton of stuff?
Mostly every part I was missing from Japan. I found even an Eagle Breastmaster gun for Desaris. So he's complete now, finally.
Nice.
Trans-Pacifico or whatever. eBay seller popped one up the other day. I just snagged it right away. Fuck. bunch of other small stuff. Rabbit Crater box and insides other than the figure. I don't know. Dino King eventually. Keep having to try to find stuff.
Years, right?
Six. Six is a couple, right? Yeah,
a couple three.
Six is half a dozen. That's a lot.
Half a couple.
Half a couple.
Sturdo does a beer.
All right. Let me see here, just for the heck of it. What's I'm going to mess what's with...
What's he got?
No, I'm just going to mess with Don.
Oh, well, I've done
He's that. Always trying to mess with somebody. That's what he does.
Well, you know, remember, he's a backstreet boy. He's out of work. He's trying to get exposure.
I work every day.
You didn't say died years ago. You're done.
I work every day. Every day.
Yeah, Bryce, you didn't see him without his hat on. He looked very, man, backstreet boy.
Corners don't count.
What, just because I have hair? Oh, ho, ho, ho.
I've got hair where it counts. I'll let your imagination decide upon that.
But I don't want to hear about you and your cats.
Oh, jeez. Anyhow, you guys got anything else for tonight?
Well, join us at TFCon. We've got about, a month, give or take?
Yeah, we got about a month, give or take. As far as I know, we're all going to try to be there. I myself included. We're going to try to do live broadcast as well if we possibly can. If we can't, there will be an upload.
We tried that last TFCon. It was like Brett busy selling and me drunk as a skunk.
I remember you drunk as a skunk. Happens.
But we're actually going to have a board so that we'll actually be able to sit down and talk with some of the fans and stuff like that. So it's actually going to be a little more formal. So it'll really help. You know, the guys are wanting to know us a little better in the community and actually get to know us in person versus just on an audio portion or video portion that they always get. I plan on hooking up a bunch of cameras and stuff so that way we can actually get some broadcasting, or if we can't get a broadcast, we'll at least have an edited version of it up so that way you guys can see it. And for those who could not afford to go, have the pleasure.
If anybody wants to come up and say, "Hey, you're the guy from TFYLP," I said, "Yes, I am." Please don't say, "Hey, you're the guy that whose cat attacks him."
I heard that.
Yeah, it's that's apparently what I'm best known for, is being attacked by my cat. that people recognize my voice, and then they realize I'm the
cat guy. Yeah,
exactly. The one whose cat always attacks him on camera.
Yeah.
So
here's what I wanted to ask you, Don.
Oh, what?
How long did it take you to order that thing, that trailer?
About an hour. I started right at 10 Eastern time. When the site went up, because they took it down, apparently they were getting hit heavy before 10 o'clock Eastern time, 9 o'clock Central.
And my steel core trailer?
Yeah,
the steel core trailer.
There you go. I want
that thing.
Ready?
Yeah.
2 minutes.
I think it's just the mad rush. But, you know, after missing...
My point is, congratulations. Well, why'd you do that? Why? Wait an hour. They're not going to run out.
Well, now, that's what I thought on Ripshot. Well, see, that's what I thought on Ripshot and Recoiler, too. Because they were the armor kit, armor robots. Or revolver.
Get your trailers back now.
Yay. You paid. You made a payment. I'm done. Two minutes.
You'll buy now.
So, You know, the cool thing was I got to experience the nostalgia of Maddie Collector's White Screen of Death, which I sorely missed, of course.
Oh, crap like that, just wait for the next one.
That's sarcasm in case anyone didn't catch that.
All right, this is what I call words of wisdom. Wait a little bit. Two minutes, an hour. I know that.
Here's the thing. I have learned that if you don't try when it goes up, like for rift shot and recoiler, then you're going to pay a lot more in the secondary market. I had to pay more for code after the fact.
Bryce, quit making noise. God dang it.
He's trying to destroy his house again.
I know that. That's when you got to run real quick. You got to go poop. Yeah. Anyway, just to let you know, I don't mean to be mean.
Canadian beer.
Actually, it's a Canadian beer. Anyway, yeah. And yeah, I do mean to be mean, but I got, what was it called, recoiler and rift shot or whatever it was? Yeah. I got those too because I waited. I'm not saying waiting hours.
I know.
Wait a little bit.
Well, I'm just saying, you know.
Now, wait a minute. Real quick, I'm sorry, but it did remind me of something. You are correct. You are correct in that sometimes being quick on the draw is the best. And I'll give you an example. Did anyone else notice that Fun Publications put up a really big sale this week? Did anyone see that?
Yes.
Yes. Earlier this week.
I know who you're going to talk about, too.
Nope. I'm not going to talk about anyone. All I'm going to say is that some people got quick on the draw. They got some really nice pieces,
including some people did.
And it was whoever got there quick.
Yeah.
You're right.
I think they had, what was it, one Megatron Starscream, I believe, left over 2006. The Megatron and Waspinator from the pre-Beast Wars set.
They had 12 of them.
Oh, they had 12? Okay, I heard it was only one.
Yeah, he announced that they had 12 of those. There was the other one with the Rodimus. They had 12 of those. And they were just gone. I mean, they didn't announce it. They didn't do anything. Yeah. The only thing I have a problem with, and I've expressed my displeasure with, is an hour and a half after you launch it, I get an email saying, hey, guess what? We're going to have a sale. That's kind of like a slap in the fucking face. Sorry, but that really pissed me off. Yeah, I heard from friends and everything, so I went there, but I didn't get the actual email for an hour and a half after everything was gone, of course.
Yeah, you know, I had all that stuff from previous BotCons. I wouldn't have mind buying the Megatron, and surprising a good friend of mine at Christmas with that because he never got a chance to get one. But I was at work, and as you know, the company I work for, you really can't have phones on you. So I didn't find out about it until it was well after the stuff was gone.
Right. Well, for those that didn't know, the Megatron and Waspinator from 06, is that correct?
06, yeah.
They were selling at $300. And a lot of people will say, that's a lot of money. Well, no, it's not
the
secondary market. No. They go anywhere from $1,000 to $1,200.
I've seen the Megatron sell for over $1,200 by itself. Yeah.
So there you go. Evidently a good deal. They also did the Megatron and Rodimus, and I think it was $300 also.
Yeah, that was the Armada Voyager Megatron.
In the shattered glass Rodimus that everyone wants for the Scyther armor.
Which was, speaking of which, when I was trying to find my Black Vulcan figure earlier when we were discussing Buster Jones, but I found my, this is the real Vans Project Shadow Scyther using the shattered glass Rodimus.
There you go. Like I said, they
still a really awesome figure.
I actually asked Pete. Because I was like, "What the hell, dude? What prompted this?" And he said they wanted to make space. They just decided to get rid of some stuff, and they thought it'd be good just to throw up a sale. And you know, they could have gone to the secondary market and charged $900 to $1,000, whatever, for these sets, and people would have bought them because there are people out there that will buy it. But I have to tip my hat off to them. They decided they were going to give one back, and I mean, there was some markup, yes, but a lot of people got really good deals. Really good deals. They had an 06 box set for $500.
But yeah, how did the people get a hold of this sale, if not by the mail? Was it Twitter?
Yeah. So, I mean, it was all – they honestly, it was – I mean, they're trying to make a little bit of money, of course, but it was to make room. So they got rid of some extra stuff.
Yeah, but what I meant was you said that we got the mail. I got the mail as well, but I didn't have the money, so I didn't care about it. But people knew about this an hour before. Was it through Twitter, or I missed that part?
I don't know. I got magic. It was – my understanding was is it was up for about 10 minutes, and I got a call about it. Okay. And that was from a good friend of mine, and he got it from an email. So they were evidently, as soon as they launched it, they were sending out emails. But I literally did not get mine.
I actually find something.
Well, I didn't get mine for an hour and a half.
Okay. Now I haven't checked for a few days, but they did have the jackpot figure from the Reveal the Show Jazz mold. I was surprised when I last checked that was still available, because that jackpot mold, the jackpot coloring on the Jazz mold.
No, that one was gone, because it was jackpot, and it came with a two-pack with something else. And I can't remember. That was gone.
Yeah, I can't remember. Okay.
Yeah. There's very few things left. I mean, I was able to grab a few things, but, I mean, some people got some really killer deals. I mean – just were. So, I mean, like I said, I tipped my hat off to them that they just decided they were going to give a little back. And there's going to be those people there that say, well, they made them to begin with, and they're selling them at a higher price.
Shut
so
up.
They're ripping people off. No. You're talking about something that's inflated in price. It's worth more, and they sold it for less. It's simple as that. It's worth more. They sold it for less. So I tip my hat off to them. I do wish that their email system was actually, you know, up to date, maybe in this century. I would have known quicker, but that's all right. I had friends that told me anyway. So
that's very true.
Off my soapbox. There we go.
Okay. Well, you guys have anything else for tonight? Or we?
Nah, I think we're good.
Close. Okay.
Now, I got my fans project trailer thing within 2 minutes. I'm good.
I didn't, and I'm good.
And you're good. See?
Yeah, I had Steel Corps, and he's like a pretender. You wrap his legs around his head and put his hands over his face. There you go.
Yeah, I heard that you guys do that during sex a lot. So, I mean, you got up there in Canada.
Only with the moose.
So, you have fun with that.
Occasional caribou.
Caribou.
Well, on that note,
keep it classy, guys. Keep it classy.
No, that's gone. That's gone.
Alright.
Class of 96 or what?
And I still graduated Beast 8 years mold. Before that.
Oh,
jeez, you damn old man. Anyway.
an old man with awesome Transformers that I paid retail for.
I'll retail you one.
You really have drank a lot, didn't you?
Like I said, Overlord and Lyo Kaiser, 150 shipped for the pair. Lyo Kaiser gift set.
Somebody paid me $50 to take a Lyo Kaiser gift set.
Well, you just
can't beat that.
Oh, sorry, 210, now that I've sold the other pieces.
Anyway. Wrap this up, Plastic Off, or he has any more fun.
Let's wrap this thing up, guys. I appreciate all you guys coming out and, you know, listening to what we got going on. And obviously, we're going to be back next week. You guys check out the podcast we actually have coming up on Thursdays, dealing with our books and comics and all that craziness. I'm hoping those guys are actually doing pretty good with that. I haven't actually gotten a chance to check it out. But anyhow, you guys tune in next week. We'll have some more stuff for our Transformers for your listening pleasure. You guys check out Captured Prey and Mega Toy Fan and Plasticon Reviews and tftalk.net. Anyhow, you guys all have a good night. This is Plasticon. And everybody else, signing off.
Bye.
Later. Okay, bye-bye now. Bye-bye.
Peace out, you guys.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of tftalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@tfylp.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.